This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's time for Come and Talk It with your host, Michael Cargill, brought to you by Texas Law Shield. Over the last decade, Michael has championed and supported the rights of law-abiding Texans to own and use firearms. He is the owner of Central Texas Gunworks, a veteran of the United States Army, and has achieved national exposure in such prestigious media outlets such as Forbes Magazine, Fox Business News, CNN Money, AOL, BBC World News, Huffington Post, and the New York Times. Cargill vigorously defends lawful gun ownership in this country without regard to party politics. And now, here's Michael Cargill.
Good day, Austin, Texas, the live music capital of the world. Let's praise the Lord and pass the ammunition. All right, so this week we have a lot happening right now. We have the Mueller investigation. The summary report has been released. Got released about an hour ago, and the media is going crazy because they have nothing, absolutely nothing on this president whatsoever. They don't know what to do. And so, man, and then also, let's talk about bump stocks. Yeah, we got to talk about bump stocks. All right, so because Monday at midnight, bump stocks will be banned in the country. That's right, Monday at midnight, you would no longer be able to have your bump stock. And let me tell you, ladies and gentlemen, this is a very sad day in this country. And you know what? I cannot let it go. I cannot just step aside and allow this to happen at all. I just can't do it. You know, and you know what, Zach, I mean, what's your idea? What's your thoughts on bump stocks? I mean, why are we banning bump stocks in this country?
Why are we, Mike? I don't think we should. It's a piece of plastic. They're not registered. It's just a piece of plastic that slides back and forth down the buffer tube of a rifle. And people are so threatened by it when you can actually bump fire using your belt loop. And with maybe 30 minutes of practice, you can do it by holding a normal rifle, holding the stock off your shoulder and keeping your finger rigid and pulling the gun into your finger. So you can actually bump fire without a bump stock.
Ah, say it's not so.
It's so.
No way. Impossible. You know, and I'm going to appeal to you, you know, because this is an emergency. You know, if this was Obama, the Obama administration, the people would be going crazy and protesting like there's no tomorrow. If this was Hillary Clinton, they would just totally burn down everything in their sights. But this is Donald Trump, his administration. He's banning a piece of plastic. And I want you to think about this for a second. You're talking about the federal government has decided that something that you legally purchased is now banned and you can no longer own it. So I'm going to appeal to you. And they're not only are they doing that, they're saying, hey, they're not going to reimburse you for it. They're not going to do a buyback. They're not in any of that stuff. What they're saying is it is now banned. You need to destroy it or turn it in.
Yeah. And when you originally purchase a bump stock, it comes with the original ATF letter of approval where the manufacturers of the bump stock sent the ATF the bump stock, told them exactly what it did, and the ATF sent a letter back saying that, hey, this is fine. This is perfectly fine to own. We know exactly what it does, and here's our approval.
So I'm going to appeal to you, you know, my fellow citizens and compatriots. I am beseeched by a department of government that has no authority to make new laws. In the last 90 days, less than 500, listen to me, people, less than 500 of the 500,000 bump stocks have been turned in to the federal government. My government and president of these United States has demanded that I surrender at discretion any and all bump stocks. Otherwise, I will be charged and convicted of a felony. And ladies and gentlemen, if you're on Facebook Live right now, I'm holding up a bump stock. I have one right now in my possession. Right now. Here it is. Bump stock. So I have to make a decision right now. Am I going to become a felon come midnight on Monday, or do I have to turn this in and destroy it? That is what we're talking about. That's right. I'm holding up a bump stock right here in my hands. So I'm telling you, this is just crazy to me. My government and president of these United States has demanded that I surrender my bump stock at discretion and any and all bump stocks otherwise. I will be charged and convicted of a felony. I can lose everything. I should never give up this fight, even if it costs me every single penny. I tell you what, I've decided I'm going to fight this. If I have to break the bank, I'm going to fight this. I'm going to take this fight to Washington, D.C. I'm going to take this fight to the Department of Justice. I'm going to take this fight to the ATF. And I need your help. I cannot do it alone. I need you to help me. I should never give up this fight, even if it costs me every penny. So I call on you in the name of liberty, of patriotism, and everything dear to the American character to come to our aid with all dispatch. Under our constitutional system, Congress makes the laws, not the Department of Justice or the ATF. Congress has banned machine guns, but it has not banned bump stocks. Agencies like the DOJ and the ATF can't just assume the power to rewrite the law or our Constitution. Our constitutional system of separation of powers and checks and balances will be gone if we allow this to happen. For years, the ATF has said that bump stocks were not machine guns under the law. And now it is saying the opposite, which means that hundreds of thousands of law-abiding Americans who have relied on the ATF's approval of bump stocks are suddenly felons. Monday, midnight. That's not how law in America should work. That is not how it should happen. This is the United States of America. Whether to ban a bump stock is a question and a responsibility that lies with Congress and Congress only, not with agencies of the Department of Justice and the ATF. If agencies take over that decision, then our government is no longer accountable to the people. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Folks, this is Doug Man Jones. And I get my gun news from Michael Cargill at Come and Talk It.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking about bump stocks. We're talking about the bump stock ban that's going to go into effect on Monday at midnight. You know, my fellow citizens and compatriots, I am besieged by a department of government that has no authority to make new laws. Do you know that neither the president nor the Department of Justice can act by executive fiat to change the law? Did you know that? Congress, and only Congress, can convert lawful activity into unlawful activity. But Congress has not, they have not changed. They have not banned bump stocks. So the ATF's rule violates the Constitution. Do you know that the Constitution does not allow law making by shortcut? Did you know that? Do you know that new criminal laws must be passed by both House of Congress and signed into law by the president? That did not happen. Not here. Not last year. Not this year. If the courts permit the Attorney General to get away with passing this rule, which turns 500,000 Americans into felons overnight, nothing will stop a rogue Attorney General from turning millions more law-abiding citizens into felons in the future. Do you know that the Constitution provides rules for our government? That the Congress writes the laws. The executive branch enforces them. You're going to learn today. And the judiciary independently interprets them. You better ask somebody. I'm trying to tell you. I'm trying to educate you. But this case threatens to consolidate all three functions in a single administrative agency, the ATF, and to contravene both the laws written by Congress and prior judicial interpretations of those laws. You know what? Let me bring into the conversation my attorney, Edwin Walker. Edwin, with Texas and Lewis U.S. Law Shield, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir. Oh, I'm sorry. All right, so we don't have Edwin just yet. I got to get Edwin on the phone because, you know, I need to know. I got to get some legal advice on this because I need to know if I'm on the right track or not. I need to make sure that, you know, what we're talking about is right here because this is insane to me. And I'm appealing to you. I'm calling for your help. This is it, people. I mean, I think back to the Alamo. And this is how it all starts. All it takes is just one little pebble. This is that pebble. This is it right now. This is your calling. This is on your watch. This is why you're watching. And you're not doing nothing to stop it. We have got to act, and we have got to act now. We cannot allow this government to overstep their bounds.
It's getting warm in here.
Oh, it's getting hot. And let me tell you, you know, everyone's talking about this Utah, you know, this case in Utah where the guy, you know, got a stay, but that's just for him. I'm not talking about for him. I'm talking about for all of us. This is for everyone. This is not for just one particular person. We got to do something for this entire country. We cannot allow this government to overstep their bounds. You cannot allow an agency within the government to create law. It's as simple as that, people. You cannot allow this. And if you sleep on this, you allow them to do this, then that does not stop them from doing anything, no matter what it is. Pick an item. The government says, you know what? It's banned. You can no longer own it anymore. It doesn't matter. You cannot allow that. We cannot allow this. We have to stop this. We have to do something. We have to do something now. So the case in Utah, where it was filed in the U.S. District, the 10th Circuit Court issued on Thursday a temporary stay of a pending federal bump stock ban to take effect next week. Well, this and everyone read this wrong. You know, people were like all cheering and thinking, oh my goodness, yay, I don't have to give up my bump stock now because in Utah he got a stay. No, this was just for him, not you. Had nothing to do with you. Just that one individual. We have to do something for everyone in this country. We have to do something. You can't allow this to happen. So basically, the court understands that the stakes and is refusing to let an innocent owner be declared a felon as scheduled. So this guy here, this gentleman here, he'll get a pass. He'll be able to keep his bump stock. But everyone else, you better turn those in. If you don't get those turned in before midnight on Monday, then you're a felon, or you better destroy them. You better not let anyone know that you have them. And I'm telling you now, less than 500 bump stocks have been turned in. There are only 500,000 bump stocks that are out there. So I'm going to take a break for a second. So I need to take a breather because I'm way too upset here because we're not doing anything. We're allowing this to happen on our watch. If this was Hillary Clinton, you guys would be yelling up and down and screaming like there's still tomorrow. If this was President Obama, boy, I couldn't even get you people to shut up. But no, that's not who it is. This is someone else. And you're letting them get a pass. You're letting them get the pass. And you're not doing anything. Not a thing. So you know what? I'm going to take a little breather. I want to talk about this little case here in Deep Ellum. Did you hear about this, Zach? Over in Deep Ellum. It was an assault case.
Is that the guy that whooped up on that girl?
Man, yeah. It was crazy. So apparently she went the wrong way on a particular street. And on a one-way street. And so she ended up somehow out of her vehicle, and they're yelling, going back and forth, and this guy pulls out a gun on the small of his back that he was concealed carrying, and he was a bartender. So then, you know, they're yelling, going back and forth. She grabs her phone because she sees the gun in his hand, and she goes to dial 911. So then he slaps the gun out of her hand, and she reaches over and hits him for slapping the gun out of her hand. And then he literally punches this lady like he was boxing Evander Holyfield. I mean, he goes to town. He's punching her in her face. He's doing uppercuts. He's bobbing and weaving. You know, he's doing lefts. He's doing rights. Like, he was beating on this lady, literally, like she was a man. And it's crazy to me. Did you see it?
I'm watching it right now.
Are you? Okay, well, you know what? I want everyone to watch it, but you know, but at first I want you to tell me, you know, where was it again? Because I need everyone to know where this was.
It's near downtown Dallas in Deep Ellum. Yeah, so this guy, wow, he is laying into this girl. Basically starts it out by slapping the phone out of her hand. She reacts by punching him, and then he just crow hops and smacks her right in the face with a closed fist, and then keeps going. Doesn't even stop there. And this guy has to be at least 8 inches taller than this woman. And wow, he's uppercutting her, he's hooking her, cross, jab, all kinds of punches. I mean, he is, wow. Got the sound on
here? Brother, that car was sitting here facing the wrong way, and her homegirl walked in.
Bro, you're in big trouble, bro.
Hey, bro, chill, bro. That's a female.
Bro, that car was sitting here facing the wrong way, and her homegirl walked in.
Yeah, this guy straight up crow hops.
Bro, you're in big trouble, bro.
Hey, bro, chill, bro. That's a female.
Yeah, this is the audio from the cell phone recording. Wow. Jeez. So, yeah, women want equal rights, but, you know, can't condone this right here.
Oh, no, no, not at all. You know what? And I want you to go ahead and I want you to roll that press conference also.
These type of hate crimes cannot be tolerated, and they will not be tolerated in Dallas, Texas. We are demanding that the District Attorney John Cruzo charge Mr. Shedfield with a hate crime and aggravated assault with a deadly weapon. Those are both felonies. Those charges are adequate with what we saw in this, And at the end of the day, there was a young lady assaulted for just making a mistake. And this man felt like he could take that in his own hand and bash this young lady's face.
Yeah, he bashed her pretty good. If you watch this video, she hits him. Yeah, but then you can't do that to a woman. He's just beating the tar out of her.
Crazy. Yeah, I mean, this happened in Dallas, Texas. This is like the party district. You live up in, you've been up in Dallas. You live in Oklahoma. You're from Oklahoma, but you've been up in Dallas and party up in Dallas before.
Yeah.
What is Deep Ellum like?
Yeah, I'm from further north in Dallas. Deep Ellum is very close to downtown, and it's come up a lot in the last few years. It used to be a little bit sketchier, but now it's a lot nicer. There are lots of new buildings going in, and I mean, it's kind of a bar district where people will go out and drink, listen to music.
All right, so I want you guys to call in and tell us, you know, what are your thoughts on this? What are your thoughts on bump stocks? What are your thoughts on this beatdown that this bartender gave this lady in Dallas? And my call-in number is 512-543-2284. Call me up, 512-543-2284. This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
This is Cole on Noir, and you're listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
Talk 1370. Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
All right, so we're talking about the bump stock ban, which goes into effect on Monday night. You know, it's not a, you have to understand me, people. This is not about bump stocks. This is not about that at all. This is about an agency within the government creating law is what this is about. This could be anything. Anything they decide later on down the road. And for my liberal friends that are out there that are listening, you know, ask yourself this. Do you really want Donald Trump telling you that you cannot own something in your own home? That's what you need to ask yourself. Do you want, you know, an agency within the government to tell you that something that you legally purchased is now illegal and it's banned? That is not how the Constitution is written. You know, and Rob Yoder, hey, greetings from Fort Worth. Hey, how you doing out there in Fort Worth there, Rob? Oh, yeah. Yeah. Yvonne, that's right. You become a felon as midnight on Monday. Steven, the big picture is the Fed government is a whole needs to be checked before we become the next Venezuela. That is correct. I agree. Let's see.
So midnight on Monday, you mean 7.5 hours from now?
That is correct. Monday. No.
So 11:59 p.m. Monday.
Monday night. Tuesday morning.
Tuesday morning. Okay.
Right. So, Marv McKinney, have to go and can still listen to your show on my ham radio. I don't know what that's going on there. Bump stocks are dumb. Andrew says, bump stocks are dumb, but allowing the government to take things away out of emotional responses will bite us in the butt later. That's correct. You know, and you have to eliminate the bump stock. You know, you have to remove that from your vocabulary and just think about it, what it is. Name any item that you have in your home. Pick anything that you like. Just name that item, and the government says, hey, you legally purchased it, but it's now banned. We're not going to do a buyback program. We're not going to reimburse you. We're just going to confiscate it, and it's now illegal, and you're a felon if you possess one after this date. That's what we're talking about. Oh, you got to understand it from that perspective, and if you don't understand it from that perspective, then you're screwed. You're done. You're done. Absolutely done. Okay, and that could be anything. So guess who's in power now, and then who's going to be in power later on down the road, and the tables can flip. So you're all thinking, oh, well, it's guns. It's not me. You know, they came for me. I did nothing. they came for this person. Oh, we didn't do anything. They came from that person. We didn't do anything. They came from this person over here. We didn't do anything. But then once they came for me, oh, guess what? There was no one left. It'll be too late. Got to act now. And so I'm calling, you know, to my activists. I'm calling on, you know, my financial backers out there. I'm asking you to step forward and step up to the plate, because this is it. We're at the gates right now. We're standing at the gate. We're on the edge. We're on the ledge. We're standing in the door. You know, I was airborne. It's like, you know, stand in the door, Trump master, everything okay. So we're standing in the door right now. The wind's blowing. All you hear is the air. You hear the engine of the C-130 or C-141. And you're ready to jump out the door, because that's where we are. Are you going to reel me back in and say, nope, I got you. I need your help. I'm calling for your help. I'm calling all my citizens, all my compatriots. Because we're standing right there now. It's like history has repeated itself. We're going all the way through it all over again. And we're not doing anything to stop it. Got to stand up. I need your help. I'm asking you, because on tomorrow, I have to make a decision. I got to make that decision of whether or not I'm going to become a felon, or am I going to turn in my bump stop? As I almost fell out of the chair. So, you know, here's my bump stock right here. Am I going to turn it in? Or am I going to become a felon come tomorrow? Got one right here. I got to make that decision. I got to have my come to Jesus moment. So what are we going to do? Can we stand and fight? What are our options? Call me. Tell me. You know, what do you think? Our number is 512-543-2284. I've contacted Gun Owners for America. Someone said, you know what, why don't you contact Gun Owners for America? I've contacted them, and I got no response whatsoever. I've contacted the NRA, got no response whatsoever. I've contacted Texas State Rifle Association. They don't even answer the phones. So, you know what? So I'm talking to the people. You know, screw these organizations. I'm asking you, the people, what are our options? What can we do as the people of the United States, of Texas, the Lone Star State? What can we do? Because the other lawsuit in Utah, that was for one person. Please do not confuse that with everyone. Go ahead.
So this guy in Utah, his name is Clark Aposhian, and he's the chairman of the Utah Shooting Sports Council. And it looks like what he did was appeal the ruling to the 10th Circuit Court of Appeals in Denver. So he is a Utah resident and chose to go to the 10th Circuit in Denver. And that's how he managed to get this stay for himself only.
Right. Yeah, so only him. It's not for everyone. So that's what we're asking. Asking you to step up to the plate. Help us out here. You know, lend us a hand. What can we do? Mark, Maxwell, you know, what can we do? What are our options here, sir? What's working behind the scenes? You know, what companies are, you know, helping us out? I'll do whatever I need to do. I need your help. So we just talked about the Deep Ellum, the assault case. What do you think about that? Was that not insane?
That is crazy.
They did not beat her like she was like Evander Holyfield?
Senseless.
Uh-huh. Oh, man. It was just it's crazy. You know what? And when I think about this, you know, all this talk of bump stocks and all this other stuff, it reminds me of this state senator out of Arkansas. You know how people act on emotions. You know, when deep down inside they know what's wrong, they know what's right, and they know that they should vote for a particular bill, but then they're so caught up in the emotions of everything. And they bring up everything else they need to bring up except focusing on what the actual bill is all about. And so that reminds me of, State Senator Stephanie Flowers out of Arkansas. She's a Democrat. from Pine Bluff, and she gave such an impassioned speech about why a particular bill should not be passed in the state of Arkansas. You know, and I want you to listen, you know, to this state senator, because this speech was this awesome. And you know what? And I want you to listen to the very end, because do you remember what she said at the very end, Zach? You probably don't, but don't tell him, but you got to listen to the very end, you know, because she was so passionate about it. You know, she's a state senator from Arkansas, and she wanted to tell, you know, the story about her family and what's going on. She got all caught up in all the emotions. And then at the very end, before she got off the mic, she said something that was very important. So you got to wait until the very, very end of this audio.
So this is about the stand your ground laws, right? Yeah.
Thank you. I'm going to try to keep myself calm, okay? Now, I respect Senator Garner, but number one, I just want to say, and I just want to speak my piece, and people have to learn to agree to disagree. And I just want to explain to you where I come from, okay? I've had brothers that went to war, had an uncle that served in the Korean War. My brother went to Vietnam twice, and he's no longer here. He died when I was in the 2013 session, down in our damn nursing home for veterans in Houston. Now, I had a sister that was killed with a gun out of college. I was only 15, turning 16 that damn year. And where I'm from, the God I serve does not tell me that I have a fundamental right to carry a gun. And let me tell you about my brother Thurman that served in the Air Force in Vietnam. And by the way, I know Afghani veterans, and they don't all support this bill and these other bills that we've been passing here, talking about carrying guns in bars where people are drinking. They don't believe that. They are peaceable people, loving people. And the God I serve is a God of love. Just like you sat up in here the other day talking about putting a damn motto that anybody pays for on the "In God We Trust." Well, a sign don't mean a doggone thing to me. It's what's in your heart. And let me tell you about my sister, Frances. She was just 19 years old. And I hope your daughter never has to experience that. But when you go through things like that, and when you sit up and you see what's happening all over this nation, little children in schools being gunned down, teachers being gunned down, people in a church praying, having a Bible meeting, being gunned down, and you might say, well, that wasn't somebody with a concealed carry, but hell, I'm hearing y'all talking about everybody take a damn gun around. I think you're gonna agree, we are all gonna die. There is something that I believe after this life on earth. Maybe you don't believe that, but the God I serve assures me of that. So whether you got a gun, whether you're gonna pull it out and shoot me right now, I don't give a damn. You can do what the hell you want. But let me tell you something. My brother was never the same when he came from Vietnam the first damn time. And the second time he came from there, he came before his tour ended to come to his sister's funeral. So don't tell me about no damn everybody gotta have a gun. Go to hell on with your guns. I'm voting for the damn bill. I don't want to.
So she's going to vote for the bill anyway. Oh, man. After all that hooping and hollering, she decides to go ahead and vote for the bill. I know, right? That was crazy.
That's strange.
And, you know, deep down inside, people know that, you know, something's wrong. They deep down inside, they know that this is something they should, you know, go ahead and pass and get it done. They're just so, you know, filled with anger, filled with hatred, and filled with just, you know, wanting to disagree with the other side. They're not willing to do what's right for the people. That's what this boils down to. Yeah. So, you know, but we come back from the other side. We're gonna close this out, you know, and I'm gonna figure out what I'm gonna do this week, because this week is gonna be the come to Jesus moment. This is a moment I have to decide, you know, on Monday, you know, do I want to turn my bump stocks in, or do I want to be a convicted felon? This is Michael Cargill, and you are listening to Come and Talk It.
Hello, this is Gerald Daugherty, and I'm the Precinct 3 County Commissioner here in Travis County, and you're listening to Come and Talk It.
Talk 1370.
Welcome back to Come and Talk It. And now here's Michael Cargill.
That's right. Bump stocks will be banned at midnight on Monday night. That's Monday night, Tuesday morning. So I'm going to have to make a decision whether or not I'm going to turn them in, or am I going to become a convicted felon come, you know, Tuesday. So let me bring it to the conversation. Let's go to the phone lines. Let's go to Sarah. Line two. Sarah, you're on with Come and Talk It.
Yes, hi. I was wondering, how do you instantly become a felon? Are the feds going to have a list on the 26th of everyone who bought a bump stock?
No, but you know what? I tell you what, I'll let Edwin Walker with Texas and U.S. Law Show answer that question. Edwin, welcome to Come and Talk It, sir.
Oh, hey, Michael. How are you?
All right.
Good. You will be a felon in that you are breaking the law, but you will not be a convicted felon. You still have all your due process rights, which means that they have to find you, charge you, prove beyond reasonable doubt that you're in possession of a machine gun, the bump stock. So that is the process. And I guarantee the first person who is charged with possession, now that's an extremely risky endeavor, and nobody wants to be that guy. And I'm not advocating that that guy step forward and go, I will be the man who takes the bullet to be charged with a felony under this law. But they are going to, I'm assuming, that they are going to put forth a very, very, hopefully a very well thought out and very reasoned argument that the law that they're being prosecuted under is unconstitutional. And, of course, that's obviously one of the quicker ways to get to the U.S. Supreme Court also, is because we cannot and should not prosecute and convict people under unconstitutional laws.
Did I answer your question, Sarah?
This is a question for Michael.
All right, go ahead, Sarah.
This is a question for you. Well,
did we lose her? Sarah? Okay, there you go, Sarah.
Where won't they come to your shop and ask you for a list of people who bought bump stocks from your gun shop,
okay,
Michael?
I don't have a list of people that purchase any accessories at all. The only list that I maintain are people that have purchased firearms. So it would have to be a firearm for me to do that. So any accessories, even ammunition, I don't keep a list of people that actually purchase those things. And no, I don't know any gun store that actually does that.
Yeah,
okay, you're on the radio show telling people you have one.
Okay,
so
correct. I have one.
Can come.
I have one right here. I will have to make that decision tomorrow if I'm going to turn them in or refuse to turn it in. I have to make that decision tomorrow.
Okay.
And I'm still trying to make that decision for myself.
So basically anyone who keeps their bump stock after this ban, you won't necessarily be a felon, but you'll be in the commission of a felony by owning one. Is that right, Edwin?
Yes, you'll be engaged in conduct that constitutes a felony if, you know, if the person is obviously convicted. So, there are obviously somebody who commits a crime is, you can lump them into the group of felons or criminals or whatever you want to call it. But until they actually get adjudicated, that's whenever all the disabilities of being a convicted felon kick in. And it is going to be very, very interesting to see how aggressively the ATF does go after folks. Obviously the ATF is going to say, well, you've had 90 days. You had 90 days notice of this going to effect. So nobody gets a grace period. Nobody gets a second chance. Nobody gets a slap on the wrist. We're going to go after everybody. Whoever possesses a bump stock, we're going to go after them the same way we would as if they had an unregistered MP5.
And then, Edwin, tell them about the case for the man in Utah, because a lot of people think that's for the entire country because he got a stay. He gets to keep his bump stock.
Right. No, that was very individualized to him. And there's another case in the Western District of Michigan that was filed by the organization Gun Owners of America, and they were denied a stay this week, I think Thursday or Friday. They were denied a stay. And so they had made all the arguments. Basically, the avenue that they thought was best to be pursued is the fact that the ATF is an agency, the Department of Justice is an agency. They don't have the power to rewrite law. It was an unconstitutional delegation of authority that allowed them to do this. The statute was not ambiguous. The statute did not need this interpretation. This interpretation runs contrary to the statute. And the district judge poured them out, basically said, you don't get your stay, and the reason you don't get your stay is because one of the things that you have to show in order to get an injunction or get a stay of a law going into effect is you have to show the court, you have to demonstrate to the court that you have a likelihood of winning, and the court said you have not shown that you have a likelihood of winning. So their case can proceed, and they can have a full trial, but they don't get their stay, which means that, and as we've seen with regard to other types of federal activities, a stay can affect the whole country. I mean, we've seen it every time Trump proposes an immigration regulation. They always run and they find some, they find a federal judge in, Hawaii, California, Arizona, et cetera, to issue a stay, and that affects the entire country. But the guy in Utah did not do it in the name of everybody who is similarly situated. He just did it in the name of himself. And the guy, the organization in Michigan, they attempted that, but they didn't get their stay. But I believe that the Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals, the federal Sixth Circuit Court of Appeals that oversees Michigan, that they will take kind of an expedited mandamus review of this. So, it will eventually make its way to the U.S. Supreme Court. So, but it is kind of interesting that they went the procedural route rather than saying, this is a violation of the Second Amendment, this is a violation of the Fifth Amendment's taking clause. Obviously the easiest, I guess, the route that they believed the action was most susceptible was on the fact that it violated the Administrative Procedure Act.
So you think taking that route is not the strongest route to take?
Well, the Western District of Michigan did not agree with that. I think that all avenues for attack ought to be pursued wherever they can. So I'm not throwing shade on them for taking that route. Mm-hmm. That is probably the most effective and most expedient act route. But the district judge in Western Michigan disagreed.
Go ahead. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Well, I was just going to point out that, he wasn't a liberal Obama judge. He was a George W. Bush appointee.
All right, so it's just a matter of trying to find that right judge that's going to give you that ruling, or, you know, getting two different types of rulings from two different judges, and then this was sure this will go to the Supreme Court.
Oh, yes. If you get two types of rulings from two circuit courts, it will have to go to the U.S. Supreme Court. So if Western Michigan says, no, you don't get a stay, and the Tenth Circuit, which is where the Utah case, says, yep, you do get a stay, then that absolutely has to be resolved by the Supreme Court.
All right, man. I tell you what, thank you, Edwin. And I'm going to get you in, I think, in a week or two. We're going to have one of my friends, Jerry Patterson, on the inside the studio. We're going to talk about some things inside the studio and with you on the phone. I think that's going to be a great conversation. So I look forward to that one.
Yes, sir, Michael. I look forward to it as well.
All right. Thank you, sir. I appreciate it.
All
right, just keep this in mind. You know, the Constitution does not allow lawmaking by shortcut. New criminal laws must be passed by both houses of Congress and signed into law by the president. That did not happen here. If the courts permit the Attorney General to get away with passing this rule, which turns 500,000 Americans into felons overnight, nothing will stop a rogue Attorney General from turning millions more law-abiding citizens into felons in the future. As always, more guns equals less crime. You go out there and you buy yourself a gun. You've been listening to Come and Talk It with Michael Cargill.
I'll take my life, my liberty, my pursuit of happiness. Just let me be. I'll take my guns, my home on the range. I'll take my Bible. You can keep your change.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.